But I want to introduce our first speaker. Years ago, I met this amazing man and heard about the amazing ministry God has given him in India. There are many, many things we know about India, but most people don't know that God is doing a mighty work there, a mighty work. And Dr. Charian is right in the heart of all of that, in South India with the Bible College, school, great church. A number of our folks have been there, leaders in our ministry have been there, one of our deacons has been there teaching, and so we have a firsthand report of all of this. I'm not going to try to steal any of his thunder, but they've started over 900 churches. This is one of the greatest ministries in the world. And I want you to know about him so you can pray more intelligently for him, that God will continue to bless him and use him. I know his wife is here somewhere. I'd like for her to stand if she would. And we are delighted that you could make this trip and be with him. God bless you. Thank you so very much. He's going to come and preach God's word to us in just a moment, but first the choir is going to sing, and you pray for them and Carrie and Steve as they sing along with the choir. The song is entitled "The Perfect Lamb," and may God bless them as they come.
The dust of earth to die my death, driven by his love for me. His blood flowed down, his eyes of love invited me to enter in and live for him, forgiven for eternity.
that good singing. It is a great joy and delight for me to be with you this evening. Thank you, Dr. Sexton and Mrs. Sexton, their love for the Lord and the work around the world. I've been to this country many, many, many times, travel all across this country. When I come to this campus is a different campus. Everyone is out there to help. And as I was thinking about that, one scripture portion came to my mind. That is from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 26. It says, A band of men, whose hearts God had touched. Amen. The success of this ministry is this. God has given to Dr. Sexton a band of men whose hearts God had touched. If we want to reach the lost with the gospel, we need men and women who had been touched by God. If we have that type of men, we can reach this world with the gospel. And I was going to preach a message from the same text Pastor Tribor preached this morning. So months ago, when Brother Jesse Enoch, one of the deacons from this church, came over there to teach, and I told him, Dr. Sexton asked me to preach. This is the portion from which I'm going to preach. Then he asked me this morning, when Pastor Tribor preached from the same passage, are you going to change the message? I said, no. It may be that God wants you to hear twice the very same message. Now I'm going to read my text. Thank you, Dr. Sexton. I don't take it lightly for this great opportunity that you have given to me. He is a true friend. We love him. We pray for him on a regular basis. Please turn your Bibles with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. You heard that text this morning, and Pastor Tribor did a tremendous job, and I thank God for him. And the messages we have been hearing throughout this week, it was tremendous and wonderful. We truly enjoyed. Gospel of John, chapter 4, reading from verse 30 down to 39. Chapter 4, verse 30, starting with verse 30. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye knew not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then comes harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I send you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that ever I did. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for this precious word that you have given to us. Lord, as we are going to look into your word, I pray that will truly speak to our hearts. Challenge us, O Lord. Cause us to have a great word in our hearts to reach the lost with the gospel. We thank you for this great ministry. Lord, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I have given a title to this message, No Second Chance to Harvest a Ripe Crop. No Second Chance to Harvest a Ripe Crop. I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ in the year 1967. I don't think many of you were born at that time. I strongly believe with all my heart, faith comes by hearing God's word. If you expect men and women to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, they ought to hear the gospel. Amen. My cousin who led me to the Lord, he shared the gospel with me in 1967. I remember the words he used was from the book of Revelation chapter 21 verse 8, which tells the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. At the end he asked me this question, if I were to die that day, where would I spend my eternity? I said, I don't know. Then he showed me from God's word, if I receive the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart, I can be saved. Amen. Ever since I believe with all my heart, there is absolutely no substitute for being born again. Amen. If a person fails to be born again, he's lost forever and ever. It doesn't make any difference. A man whose color is yellow, pink, black, white, literate or illiterate, the Lord Jesus Christ said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He also said that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Spurgeon said, be not content with this unspeakable blessing for thyself alone, but publish abroad the story of the cross. Now listen to this. Holy gladness and holy boldness will make you a good preacher. And all the world will be a pulpit for you to preach in. Holy gladness and holy boldness will make you a good preacher. As I said, I have traveled all across this country many, many, many times. Those churches where I preached, some of those men, pastors, they are no more in the ministry. There is no boldness, holy boldness in them today. Some of them are spending time behind bars. Let me come back to the title of the message. There is no second chance for the lost souls. It says in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. That's true all over the world, whether it is in Africa, America, almost 7 billion people on this globe, if they do not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they die and go to hell, there is absolutely no second chance. William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, said, put your ear down to the Bible and hear him bid you go and pull sinners out of the fire of sin. Put your ear down to the burdened, agonized heart of humanity and listen to its pitiful wail for help. Go stand by the gates of hell and hear the damned entreat you to go to their father's house and bid their brothers and sisters and servants and masters not to come there. Then look Christ in the face whose mercy you have professed to obey and tell him whether you will join heart and soul and body and circumstances in the march, publish his mercy to the world. Now the question, would you join with those missionaries who laid down their lives to present the gospel and warn men and women to flee from the wrath of God to come? Ludwig Sindorov said, I have but one patient. It is he alone. The world is the field and the field is the world. And henceforth that country shall be my home, where I can be most used in winning souls for Christ. C.T. Studd, who pastored just two hours drive from my campus, South India Baptist Bible College. Some wish to live within the sound of the chapel bell. I wish to run a rescue mission within a yard of hell. What a wonderful thing. Can you hear the cry of the rich man from hell? Father Abraham, have mercy upon me. I'm tormented here in this flame. Send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. My friends, that's going to be the end of all human beings if they do not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and God. He obeyed and said, I have five brothers. I don't want them to come to this place of torment. Send one from the dead so that he can go and testify to my brothers. What did Abraham say? They have Moses and the prophets. If they don't hear Moses and the prophets, even if one goes from the dead, they're not going to believe. As I was preparing my message, I noticed three important things in this particular portion of God's word. Number one, I notice the uniqueness of the gospel. Amen. Gospel is so unique. The second thing, notice in chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus said, the urgency of the missions. It's an urgent thing. He cannot just say, well, it's going to be plenty of time there, then I'm going to do it. No, it's an urgent thing. The third thing I noticed, the urge of the master of the missions. You have heard a great deal this morning about the urge, the command, the commission the Lord gave to those people. Let's go to the first one, the uniqueness of the gospel. Notice in John chapter 4 verse 10 we read, Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that said thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The gospel is good for a morally upright man like Nicodemus. That's good enough to save that man. When he came to Jesus, he addressed him in such a way and said, Rabbi, we know that you're a good teacher who come from God. No man can do this miracle except God be with you. What did Jesus say? Verily, verily I say unto you. He thought his good life is going to take him to heaven. But think on this, when he talked to this immoral woman, that gospel, the same gospel which saved the morally upright man, was able to save a harlot in Samaria. That's why the Bible says in John chapter 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is good for a morally upright man like Nicodemus, an immoral Samaritan woman. Samaritans were a mixed race, part of Jew and part of Gentile. They were rejected and despised by the Jews. Gospel has the power to save souls and change lives. The book of Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25 we read, wherefore he is able, notice that phrase, he, Christ, God is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. I know many of you know the story of Mel Trotter. Mel Trotter was an alcoholic by the age of 20. One day his little daughter was taken seriously ill. A faithful doctor attended the call, even though he knew there would be no payment. After attending the case, he reached into his own pocket, took out some money and thrust into his hands and said, Trotter, run away 2 blocks away. You find that pharmacy. There you can find the medicine for your daughter. Run. Even if you run, it may be too late. And come right back with the medicine. It might even now be too late. So hurry. As he was going to get the drugs, he saw the drugstore which was 2 blocks away. But then he looked at his right, saw a saloon, which is a bar, was only 1.5 block away. As soon as he saw the saloon, the desire to drink alcohol overpowered him. He rushed to the bar and shouted, let us all drink, it is on me. I am going to pay, it is all on me. He went back home the next day. There he found a crying crowd around the little box. As he went over and looked over the box, he saw that it was the body of his child, but looking very different. Someone had put on her clean clothes. And there was even a pair of brand new little shoes. As he was standing there, that urge came to have another drink. Pretty soon, That urge overwhelmed him, and he slipped the new shoes from the cold feet of his child and rammed them into his pocket and sold those little shoes for a few pennies and bought another drink. Finally, Mel Trotter decided to end his life by drowning in the lake of Lake Michigan. As he was nearing the lake, someone said, "Why don't you go to there, bird? It is nice and warm." As he went through the open door that was Pacific Garden Mission, that night the speaker was Harry Monroe. The gospel was presented, and there Mel Trotter trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and God. My friends, that's why the Bible says, gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Whoever thought Mel Trotter would trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Many times we think, well, that man is not going to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But thank God, gospel is the power of God and the salvation to everyone who believes. Perhaps you may know who William Pettigrew, a missionary from Scotland, who went to India, labored there for 40 long years. He served among the headhunters of the Naga people, worked among the Assamese, the Manipuris. Today you go to those regions, you find churches with over 8,000 people. One man willing to go to the region beyond and present the glorious gospel to those headhunters. My friends, gospel has the power to change. It can make a drunken man sober, a crooked man straight, a profligate woman pure. Headhunters can be soul winners when they trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and God. You and I, we see the whole world dying and going to hell. We talk about reaching the lost, but we need to ask ourselves, what am I doing to reach those lost men and women around us? May God Almighty give us the burden to reach the lost with the gospel. Then the Lord said the urgency of missions. Notice in verse 35 says, Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. The word urgent means requiring immediate action or attention. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months. My friends, procrastination is sin. We have an outstanding example in the book of Haggai. Haggai was a prophet of the restored remnant after the 70 years of captivity. The theme of Haggai was the unfinished temple, and his mission was to admonish and encourage the builders. The response of the people given in Haggai chapter 1 verse 2 is this: thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come. The time that the Lord's house should be built. You and I, we may say the very same thing. The time hasn't come to reach the lost with the gospel. If you wait too long, those people, they will die and go to Christless eternity. The Lord said, then I will require their blood in your hand. What a tremendous opportunity that you and I, we have here upon this earth to reach the lost with the gospel. This reminds me about Stephen. In Acts chapter 8 verse 26 and 27, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go. Not Stephen, Philip. Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is a desert. Now notice the next phrase it says, and he arose and went. Philip could have argued and said, what is the need for me to go to Gaza, which is a desert? I'm having a tremendous and wonderful time here. People are getting saved. They are trusting in the Lord. There is no need for me to go to Gaza. What am I going to do there? But the Bible tells us he arose and went. Would you do that? If the Lord is speaking you to go to certain people, would you do that? Philip, he arose and he went. He did not wait for a convenient time and obeyed the call of God. That brought the salvation of the Ethiopian eunuch. The third thing I would like to point out to you from this, the urge of the master of the missions. Notice verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Verse 38. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. The word urge means earnestly ask someone to do something. The urge of the Lord to his disciple is summed up in 3-4 words. Lift up your eyes, look on the fields, launch out and labor. Would you do that? Look up, he said, look, lift up your eyes and see what is happening there. Then he says, meditate upon this, look on those fields. Lift up your eyes. Our Lord's first command demand attention to the prevailing need. Lift up your eyes. Then he exhort to observe. Look on the fields. Finally, he instructs them concerning the situation, declaring that the fields are white already to harvest. Now this morning we have heard a lot about lifting up the eyes. Now the question comes to us, what are we going to do? Are you willing to lift up your eyes and look on the fields? Let me give you some statistics. You may know all these things. Look on the fields, verse 35. On the importance of missions, education, someone made this comment and said, God cannot lead you on the basis of information you don't have. The field is the word. God has commanded. Look on the field. 60% of the world population lives in the countries of Asia. Africa has 990 million. Europe, 728 million. North America, 534 million. South America, 392 million. Australia, 34 million. Look at the megacities of the world. Tokyo with 35 million. Jakarta, 22 million. Mumbai, 21 million. Delhi, 20 million. Calcutta, 20 million. There are 6,909 non-living languages in the world. And half of them, they don't have a copy of the Bible in their hand. Every single second, 2 babies are being born. A 24-hour day, 353,015 children, babies are being born. Can you imagine? 353,015 children are being born a day. Each second, 2 people die. In a day, 146,357 people die. Can you just lift up and see what is happening around the world? There are Islamic countries over 0% Christians. Saudi Arabia, 100% Islam. Turkey, 99.8% Islam. Afghanistan, 99% Islam. United Arab Emirates, 96% of Islam. Now, how are we going to respond to those nations? Who is going to tell those people about the love of Christ? If we truly believe faith comes by hearing God's friend, someone needs to go and tell those people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We may say, well, those Islamic people, they are not going to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot save souls, but God can. Your responsibility is to faithfully present the glorious gospel to men and women. He said, faith comes by hearing God's word. If you do that, the Lord will save souls. Men and women who were burdened to reach the lost obeyed the call of God. I think about Adoniram Judson. He said he could not get away from the thought, go into the world. You know what he said? Unless the cross is planted in the land of Burma, I will not go away. I will not leave Burma until the cross is planted there in that land. David Livingstone, missionary to Africa for over 30 years, the Scottish missionary asked the question, what shall I do? What shall I do with my life? The Great Commission overpowered his life. Would you ask that question tonight? What am I going to do with my life? God has given me a life. What am I going to do with my life? The Great Commission overpowered his life. And he said, I will go to that land. Think about Charlotte Tucker. At the age of 54, the Lord called her and said, I want you to go to the northern part of India. She tried to argue with the Lord and said, Lord, I don't speak their language. My skin color is different. The day I go there, they would kill me. The Lord put great pressure, great burden in her heart and said, Charlotte, I want you to go to that part of the world. She obeyed the call of God. In 1 year time, she was able to learn the Hindustani language. And thousands of people trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and God. What are you going to do with your life? What am I going to do with my life? Hudson Taylor said, if I had 1,000 lives, listen to this, if I had 1,000 lives, I would give them all for China. John Keith Falconer, I have but one candle of life to burn, and I would rather burn it out in a land filled with darkness than in a land flooded with light. John Knox said, give me Scotland or else I die. Give me Scotland or else I die. We need some men and women will bow their head and say, Lord, give me Knoxville or else I die. God can save souls, my friends. Last year alone, we have seen over 2,000 people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, people would say, always there are pessimists comes around to you and say, how it is going to happen? South India Baptist Bible College, we started with 7 students. Our highest enrollment was 721. We have graduated over 2,500 students. God has blessed today. If you would come to the campus, you will find South India Baptist Bible College is like a mini town. God Almighty has truly blessed. People are coming to be to get the training. We send them out. God sends them out. And we see many men and women coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. John Knox, Oswald Smith said, we talk about the second coming. Half the world has never heard of the first. Carl Henry said, now listen to this. The gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. Otherwise, people will die and go to hell. And the uniqueness of the gospel is sufficient for all mankind. There is an urgency and there's the urging of the Lord. Now I would like to leave those thoughts with you. Then there is an unending joy of the sower and the reaper. There is an unending joy. Now notice here in verse 36 it says, and he that reapeth and receiveth wages gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Friends, when we get into eternity, you may see that the one soul whom you reach with the gospel, they will be praising God and thanking God for sharing that gospel with him. Throughout eternity, they will be rejoicing. One sows, another reaps. A holy partnership is necessary to reach the lost. That's what all about friendship. Dr. Clarence Sexton talks about friendship. One sows, another reaps. And all those who sow the seed will be rewarded. All those who reap, they will be rewarded. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, we read, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Think about the Samaritan woman. She got saved and she was able to bring others to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. My time gone, one preacher said, service like that is a matter of basin theology. And I will explain that. Don't get mad at me. B-A-S-I-N, basin theology. We can either wash our hands of the opportunity like Pilate did with Jesus. I have no part. You have been hearing. You have been hearing. After Friday, you may go home and say, I have no part in it. Pilate washed his hands and said, I have no part. Or you can be like Jesus, who washed the feet of his disciples. You select what you are going to do. You can wash your hands and say, I have no part in this. An Anglican missionary trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. When he got saved, he was so excited about his salvation. He started to preach to his congregation. Almost all of his people trusted in the Lord. Then he started to go to the adjoining areas and start to preach. Then all those pastors got the ministers. They call the ministers. They don't call them pastors. The ministers got upset. They informed the bishop and said, Bishop, this man has no other work except preaching and preaching and preaching. We need to stop him from doing this. The bishop came and called him to his office and said, Sir, I hear that all the time you only, one thing you do, always you preach and preach and preach. The saved man looked at the bishop and said, Bishop, what you hear is not true. I preach only two seasons. Oh, that is that true? I would like to hear what is the two seasons. In season and out of season. May God Almighty help us. And to share this glorious gospel with the men and women who are groping in darkness. In season and out of season. If we truly believe faith comes by hearing God's word, you ought to be on the move telling some people about our Savior. And I strongly believe with all my heart what Dr. Clarence Section is saying, this world can be reached with the gospel. If we all do our part. Can you lift up your eyes, look on the field? And I would like to leave those four words with you. Lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. Launch out and labor for the cause of Christ. Faith comes by hearing God's word. May God Almighty challenge your hearts. Would you ask that question, Lord, what shall I do with my life? Would you pray, Lord, give me that boldness that I can get across my street and tell some people about the Lord Jesus Christ? Gospel is the power of God and the salvation to everyone who believes. May God speak to our hearts.